Prepare yourselves. It's Big News Wednesday. It is, in fact, Big News Wednesday. Jared Jackson, welcome back to the show. Glad to have you here.
What's going on, John Iadarola? How you guys feeling over there? I wanted to point out, see if you heard about this Pop-Tart lawsuit with enough strawberry filling. We did this story yesterday on the watch list, and I shouted you out and I said, John's going to want to hear about this.
Because is this a class action? Can I get involved?
Absolutely it is. Oh, well, this is probably previous. I think this was earlier in the year. Oh, there it is. I was looking up the graphic that whole time. Kellogg mix represents the amount of fruit in its strawberry Pop-Tarts.
Wait a second.
Think about it.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that there's fruit in the Pop-Tarts at all? So
breaking news.
As an aficionado of Pop-Tarts, let me first say strawberry is the most garbage of all Pop-Tarts. But also, you're eating Pop-Tarts and you're like, this isn't quite enough nutrition.
Where is my fruit?
You could eat the box and also claim there should be more strawberries. Look, there's a strawberry on the cover. Why isn't it in the fabric? I don't know.
Truth.
But yeah, that's.
Sorry to throw you off like that, man. I feel like your whole world's upside down now.
It reminds me of the lawsuit about, we have an ad for it on the network about the Crunch Berries in Captain Crunch not being berries. Like, yes, they're not berries. And welcome to reality. Did you just wake up? Were you just decanted yesterday? Anyway, thank you for that little breaking news update on Pop-Tarts. Glad to have you here. If there is a theme to this week's Big News Wednesday, it's big consequences for right-wing grifters. We've got a couple different stories of that coming up and hints that there might be more consequences for other right-wing baddies coming up too. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be giving you updates on some shootings and some elections and a little bit more of the fallout from the Nick Fuentes Thanksgiving get together. Is True Central not long for this world? There's new numbers there. We've got robots in the streets and we're gonna be talking about New Zealand babies. So there's a lot to talk about. Buckle up for the full show and please hit the like button, share the stream if you haven't already so that people know we're live. You can reach out to us via a whole bunch of different platforms and we will respond as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start the show?
Let's get to the baddies. That's all I heard.
Let's start off with a baddie right now by launching into this.
Why is it that President Trump is not coming to have a rally in this last week before the final election day? And meanwhile, you got Obama campaigning with Warnock.
You know, President Trump has always been in my corner. He still is in my corner. And he's been doing other things for me. And everyone has been doing a lot of things for me. Tonight, we just got out of a fundraiser with Governor Kemp, with a lot of other people that was at the fundraiser. And, you know, President Trump is doing just as much for me. And I think right now, the left is trying to highlight with President Obama coming down. But, you know, one of the things that they got to remember, President Obama is a celebrity. And that seemed to be where Raphael Warnock is getting his money from, celebrities. But he's not going to win this race. I told people before, he may outraise me in money, but I guarantee he won't get more votes than I'm going to get.
Okay, well, we'll return to that guarantee in less than a week. Although, we only have a little bit of evidence to really make these claims based on. And Herschel, I hate to be apparently the first one to break the news to you, but he got more votes than you before. Like he could do it again. And so also on Obama, Obama's a celebrity. That is true. I'm glad that Herschel Walker did the absolute minimum Googling to find that out. He apparently didn't come across in his research that Obama's also a former president of the United States. So it kind of makes it a perfectly appropriate direct comparison to why Trump isn't campaigning for you. Well, sorry, not a perfect comparison because of course Obama won re-election. Maybe you become a celebrity when as a president, as an incumbent, you win another election, which Trump was unable to do. I don't know. But that is obviously, JR, not the real reason why Trump isn't campaigning. I mean, there wasn't even really a reason put there. He's doing other stuff for me. What, keeping his distance? Is that the great service that he's providing for your campaign?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. But then he has to go back to any other kinds of talking points that he's been fed. He's like, you guys, listen, Hirsch, you have to follow all these in your head. So every time you can't or don't want to answer a question, 95% can't, 5% don't want to. But every time you can't, just reel off one of these things. The problem with this particular one is that the Obama is a celebrity line. That's 2012. That's John McCain, Obama reelection type of talk. That's when they pushed all those commercials. Did you know that President Obama is a celebrity? Remember those ads? That's what he's still stuck on. That's what they told him to say, because that's the easiest ones to go to. Rather than Donald Trump, the Republican Party is rejecting Donald Trump right now, especially as he considers to go down this rabbit hole of who he always has been, but he's just showing us more. We have to keep our distance. The answer Herschel wanted to say was, remember that last runoff election and the last things that happened in Georgia and Donald Trump stuck his nose in it? What was the result? That's why Donald Trump's not down there helping me. That's the reason why. But yeah, he can't say that.
Yeah, well, I think that's related to the reason why. I have a slightly different idea that I'm going to give you in just a second. No, but yeah, I love this that Obama's just a celebrity. Well, okay, yes, Obama is a celebrity. That's fair. But why is he a celebrity? He's a celebrity because he's a successful politician that people found to be intriguing. His speeches made him a celebrity before he was even elected. But like, to make that comparison, you could almost do that with any other Republican politician. But with Trump, he was literally on TV. Like, what are you talking about? That you're Obama became a celebrity because he was a politician. Trump became a politician because he was a celebrity. And honestly, it goes even further than that. If you have the two candidates, Warnock and Herschel, and you have the two possible campaigners, you have Obama and Trump. Herschel Walker's also a celebrity. Out of all of those four, the only person who's not a celebrity is Raphael Warnock. I mean, you know, people knew who he was because he's, you know, pastor and all that, but he's the least celebrity of all of them. So if we're playing that game, then I guess reelect the incumbent. But anyway,
Herschel Walker's image for his campaign is a MF in football, bro, because he's a famous football player.
Yeah.
They said it. I didn't. They said it.
Yeah. Now, here is where I'm going to throw a little wrinkle in. And I gave a little preview of this theory on yesterday's damage preport. Trump potentially hurting Herschel Walker's reelection chances is a perfectly good explanation for why Herschel Walker's campaign wouldn't want Trump to be there. It's not as good of an explanation of why Trump isn't there. Like, it might influence other people to not want to hurt them, but Trump doesn't care as much about other people as he does about himself. Trump not being there, to me, signals maybe an understanding that he would be a drag on Herschel Walker, okay? But much more importantly for our audience, what does it say about what Trump and his team think is going to happen in Georgia? Because if Trump was to be a drag on Herschel Walker, but Herschel Walker was going to win anyway, Trump wouldn't care. The important thing is that he gets credit for a win, and in particular, that a candidate that he supports, Herschel Walker, wins. But if he goes there, it's one thing to be a drag. It's another thing if he thinks that Herschel Walker is not going to win reelection, in which case he wouldn't want to further tie his name to Herschel Walker. Everyone's focused on Herschel Walker not wanting to be tied to Trump. But if Herschel Walker's going down, Trump doesn't want to tie his name to that. He can't take it. Trump was already blamed for the midterm losses. He can't take the runoff losses being blamed on him too, which, by the way, they're going to be if Herschel Walker loses, even if he doesn't campaign, because Herschel Walker's only a candidate because of Trump. But if Trump is looking at this and his team is saying, I don't think Herschel Walker's going to win, that is a good explanation to me as to why Trump is not going. Damn what Herschel Walker's campaign thinks. Trump never feels bound by what other people tell him. But if he thinks that Herschel Walker is going to lose, then he wouldn't want to be anywhere near that thing. And so to me, this counts as evidence that they believe that Raphael Warnock is going to win. And we'll see. The only real evidence we have a couple of polls showing that it's relatively close, but generally Warnock's on top. We do know, importantly, that there's record breaking early voting in the runoff. That is good news. Normally these runoffs are much less exciting and focused on than the overall election, so people drop off. That's not what we're seeing here. As of Tuesday evening, more than 800,000 Georgians had already voted in the runoff. Now, turnout in the overall race was 4 million ballots. We're not going to reach that, in part because there's only like a week of early voting rather than three or four. Also, it's just one race drawing in people rather than Kemp, as well as all the congressional races and all that. But, and by the way, this could be conservatives flooding out there to help Herschel Walker, but the Republicans don't generally think that high turnout benefits them. They don't generally want a lot of people to vote. So again, this to me seems like evidence that maybe Raphael Warnock is going to pull this thing out. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? You know what? This JAnon conspiracy theory that you're pushing now, John. You know what? I'm buying it. I'm buying it to a degree. That's the thing, because I had one of my own, and since we're both J's, let's add to that JAnon. Maybe we can start a movement.
JRAnon.
Hey, don't just put this on me. I see what you're doing, but no, there's other parts about this because I think there's a degree to what you see. Look, Mitch McConnell came out, waltzed out to his press conference with all of his crew behind him, like he's some kind of he's in a video, and he's like, "There's not gonna be anti-Semitism in this party." I'm paraphrasing, and any. Anybody who thinks they can run for president by espousing these types of views, they're going to be wrong. That's him trying to say something tough without saying something tough without saying Donald Trump's name, because then the fight will be on. He doesn't want that. Part of this other conspiracy theory to me is I think the Republican Party behind some closed doors is starting to push back on the threats. Before they were afraid of Donald Trump, like he would threaten, "I know this about you, I know that about you, and I'll expose and blow the whole thing up." They probably know some things about him now, especially after 4 years in office of complete incompetency. So they'll say, "Hey, bro, want to have that fight? We can expose you too." I think there's some little needling behind the scenes back and forth, trying to position how they're going to play this. Because the boldness that's coming from these establishment Republicans is different than it was before. It could be a little bit of both, but also they know the stakes are higher now for Trump. He announced he's going to run. That's a mistake for so many different reasons. His influence is so much more on the line if he now goes down to Georgia and campaigns for Herschel Walker, who might lose. And if he does lose, what does that then do for Trump's political aspirations later? Before, he's just a guy who's trying to influence things. Now he's trying to run again, apparently. Yeah. I'm still sticking to that.
Yeah, look, if Herschel Walker can pull it out, then that helps Trump a little bit. If Herschel Walker loses and Trump isn't there, I think that hurts him a good bit. But if Trump were to go there and he were to lose, that would be just devastating.
Yeah. And also, you're going to spend your time and money on this race as far as Republicans when the Senate has already decided?
Yeah, maybe. I have one more piece of evidence. Let's roll this next video.
Well, he went to Washington, forgot about Georgia, and that's the reason I decided to run. That's the reason I'm going to say this, Brian. I'm not Lindsey Graham, but you got to go to TeamHerschel.com. I want everyone to go to TeamHerschel.com because they're not going to buy this seat. They can't win on their policies. So what they're trying to do right now is buy this seat. Well, they're not going to buy it. I don't care where you're getting this money from. It's not coming from Georgia. Georgia is not for sale. I want everyone to know that Georgia is not for sale. The people are turning up to vote. I love the Lord Jesus. That's the reason I got into this race. And we're going to go out and beat Senator Warnock because he don't stand for Georgia. Hey, thank you. God bless. And TeamHerschel.com, I love you. Hey, God be with you.
Right. You are doing your best Lindsey Graham impression. So good job. All right. Meanwhile, still ahead.
God, so good job. Oh, that's condescending. Oh, that's infantilizing. But we learned a lot in that video, okay? We learned about his trouble apparently raising money. And so he's doing the Lindsey Graham, like, "They're killing me out here. Please donate. They're gonna break my thumbs." So he does need money. We also learned why Herschel Walker decided to run. Sorry, we learned two different explanations for why he decided to run, because at one point in the video, he decided to run because Raphael Warnock went to DC and forgot about Georgia. Later on, he decided to run because he loves Jesus or something. Coming up on the show, there's going to be a third reason he gives as to why he decided to run or whatever. I don't think he honestly knows or can remember from minute to minute. But what he did focus on there was Raphael Warnock is raising all this money. He's being bought. He's trying to buy Georgia or whatever. Not Herschel Walker. Okay, he's not going to allow outside money to involve this race. Well, except all of whatever his money he has, since he's not from inside of Georgia. We'll get to that in a little bit. But what about the way he's been raising money? Look, he's been raising money from the elites, from billionaires, from very early on in this race. A half dozen members of the world's billionaires list have already donated at least $100,000 individually to his campaign. That includes people, for instance, Bernie Marcus, who is a billionaire, who was at least involved in Georgia, donated $1.75 million to the Super PAC 34N22, which is supporting Walker. Industrialist Dennis Washington donated another $500,000. And by the way, you don't get to claim that you're like a small dollar fundraiser when you have industrialists like it's the 1910s or whatever again, giving you money. Investors, Charles Johnson, Nelson Peltz each kicked in $100,000 individually. Oil and gas magnate Trevor Reese Jones and his wife wrote $50,000 checks. So he's got the industrialists and the magnates, you know, populist stuff. Anyway, Steve Wynn is a casino mogul. That's a third category of supporters. He's got the industrialists, the magnates, and the moguls who are supporting him. He kicked in a bunch of money. And then you have outside PACs like Trump's Make America Great Again Action and Make America Great Again, which is a real thing. They've spent nearly $200,000, and this is for much earlier on the race. I honestly don't even know what they've spent as of today. Putting in a whole bunch of money and getting outside bankers and business partners and Kenny Trout, who I think is a fish, he's giving money. The wife of the owner of Jimmy John's gave money. Like, okay, I get that you need money and you get to raise money because we haven't yet gotten money out of politics, which we desperately need to. But along the way, you don't get to take money from every rich a-hole in America and then claim that you're the one who's just for the people and Raphael Warnock's being bought by outside interests.
What is it that they're getting out of this? So look, these big guns that are big deep pocketed donors that are given all this money. Usually, you know, if it's an election, they figure you can win, you're gonna help tilt the influence of power. Maybe you can push the policies that'll help us continue to gouge the American people, screw people over, and just do it with full backing of Congress and our laws, right? That's the whole idea. Herschel Walker winning isn't gonna change that necessarily. Guess it'll be like, it'll look decently for him to be in the Senate or whatever, but that's not gonna do anything to influence things to their liking. So they're dumping all this money in for the sake of maybe the party still understanding that they support. I don't know, because it's always like a straightforward, hey, we do this and you do what I tell you, because I gave you money and that's how I got you into this job in the first place. This seems a little bit different than that. So I'm wondering what that approach is. But even outside of that, I'm curious how much the money the Monopoly man gave with this drop of his top hat and dropped a bunch of cash into his face. But also, this it just stuck out to me, somewhat unrelated, but make America great again. So he made America great in 4 years. That's what Republicans keep telling me. Donald Trump made America great. He lived up to his promises. It's been like 2 years, bro. And America's already destroyed again in 2 years. Bro, you didn't put together very good infrastructure here if it's already gone again. If old, crippled, brain dead Biden can destroy the country in 2 more years, what did you do in those 4? Sounds pretty fragile. If we give you another 4 years, I'm not too sure you can make it great again. Yeah.
Well, that's coming up in 4 years, the make America great again. Always be making America great again. That's what I always say, always be doing that. Anyway, so he's got to raise the money. And as of right now, Raphael Warnock has been throughout the race raising more money. Again, not a guarantee that Warnock is going to win. And of all of the 3 different signs I've now presented to you that Walker might be in trouble, this is probably the least like that you could really rely on, because this is indicating that Herschel Walker is concerned, but that would require him to understand literally anything about what's going on. And so we can't put much stock in that, unfortunately. But there is one other little issue that's arisen for Herschel Walker. And it turns out he's got a little similarity going on with Dr. Oz. Listen to this.
But as I was sitting in my home in Texas, and I was seeing what was going on in this country. You know, I live in Texas. Yeah, I went down to the board often on sometime. Why do our elected officials go down to the board for like an hour to get a sound bite? That's the only reason they're gonna go get a sound bite. They start talking how bad it is. I said, why don't you talk to the people there and see what's going on first?
Jesus, take the crudité. We've got a Dr. Oz in our hands. I was sitting in my home in Texas. I live in Texas. Jesus, Beetlejuice is gonna appear, you idiot. You gotta stop saying that you don't live in Georgia. You're supposed to pretend to live in the state that you're running in. You're doing such a terrible job. But it turns out that, yeah, this video, which apparently was recorded earlier this year, his financial records show that while he claims to have had a property in Georgia for many years, it is in fact owned solely by his wife, collected rental income from it for nearly two decades, indicating that he has spent many years living not in Georgia, but in Texas, where he has claimed a home as his primary residence for tax purposes. And he's potentially in some legal trouble for that, because if he now claims that no, that wasn't my main home, I actually lived in Georgia, although God only knows where, then he was committing tax fraud in Texas. But like he keeps talking about how Warnock has forgotten Georgia. Well, Warnock at least lives in Georgia, dude. You've been lying about years and years of this property that you don't own, that you don't live at, that someone else was renting. Those people are probably gonna start talking to the press soon. This is just looking really bad for him. Jared, what do you think?
Again, it's another illustration of his lack of understanding of this whole thing. You could openly say, by the way, he played for the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas is this city that's in Texas. He had to live there. But we all know that. But then he moved on to Georgia because he's from Georgia, because he played college football there too. So if you can openly admit to all this type of stuff, it's kind of the equivalent of, see, you know, like an artist goes on stage in Toledo and goes, "What's going on, Detroit?" And they're like, "Woohoo, you're in the wrong city, dummy." Right? But a politician can say, "I'm running in a state that I don't live in." Kind of, sort of. I mean, I hope you guys don't catch me on that. Maybe I'm not thinking clearly, but that's like a one-day news cycle of discussion about it. If a rock band does that in some other city, Toledo instead of Detroit, we're talking about that for years. Yeah. But this is literally the way things are supposed to be done. Not just a mistake because this band has been on the road for a month straight, but because you just don't care or don't know how the system works, but don't realize how important that is, that you don't know how the system works. And you're trying to represent people in the Senate. These are more indications of what is it you're looking for out of Herschel Walker? Competency, intelligence, knowledge of how this whole thing works? He's not showing any of it. So what are you voting for him to do? Just ask that question. What are you voting for him to do?
To support Trump or something, I don't know. Anyway, great reporting here. Credit to the Daily Beast for finally, at long last, finding something that Herschel Walker successfully pulled out of the state of Georgia. Dun-dun-dun. Anyway, we're gonna take a break, everyone. And when we come back, we got a lot more to talk about, including the beginning of our theme for the day, consequences for right-wing baddies. We got that for you after this. Paula Racer says, when will TDR be back at the main table? I don't think anytime soon. I like my little set, actually. I think it's cool. I do wish it could be both of us sitting at this table. Maybe we could get that back at some point. Anyway, okay, with that said, let's jump back into the news. There's still no word on indictments for Donald Trump or his closest allies, either in the Mar-a-Lago document scandal or in inspiring the insurrection on January 6th. But that does not mean that there are not any legal consequences for those who participated in these particular stains on America's recent political history. In fact, Stuart Rhodes, who's a significant one, the leader of the far-right Oath Keepers militia, was just convicted yesterday, along with one of his subordinates, of seditious conspiracy, as a jury found them guilty of seeking to keep former President Trump in power through an extensive plot that started after the 2020 election and culminated in the actual insurrection. So this is very significant. I mean, look, hundreds and hundreds of people have been convicted of a variety of much lesser charges. But this is the first one for seditious conspiracy. That's the big old one. That means that this was an organized, planned plot. Okay, now there are wrinkles to it that we're gonna dive into, but this is already historic. Now, Mr. Rhodes was also found guilty of obstructing the certification of the election during a joint session of Congress and of destroying evidence in the case. On those three counts total, he faces a maximum of 60 years in prison. Obviously, the minimum would be far less than that. And we have no idea what they're gonna end up sentencing him for. And we have no idea when we're even gonna know that. But potentially, this could be the rest of his life in prison for participating in the insurrection. We'll have to see. At the same time, the jury found three other defendants in the case not guilty of sedition. And they acquitted Mr. Rhodes himself of two separate conspiracy charges. So in theory, if you are a right-wing crazy who are inclined to believe that the government is just completely biased and they're just trying to shut these people down, well, this is strong evidence that that is not the case. They didn't convict the others of sedition because they didn't feel they had the strong evidence that this was a pre-planned thing. But for Stuart Rhodes, they made that case. and were able to convince them. So the sedition convictions marked the first time in nearly 20 trials related to the attack that a jury has decided that the violence was the product of an organized conspiracy. So very significant. We're gonna get a little bit more into what he did, what he was planning and everything, but JR, we finally got one for seditious conspiracy.
Well, yeah, and this is the same guy who, as this trial was going on, there was videos or tapes that came out of him talking about how great it is and how underrated it is to spend some time in jail if you're fighting for the life's blood of America. Hey, bro, you might get your opportunity. And if he decides to maybe appeal this, that means he's fighting against going to jail, which you said is something that you fighters and patriots for American blood and soil have to do. Maybe it's all BS. Maybe you're just trying to get yourself off hook and while still pushing this grift that you're this badass who tried to help the president try and overturn an election. We'll get to some of those details, I'm sure. But the thing is if you've been a part of it and you've now been convicted, who's the next players? Because he doesn't do it on his own. Sedition by yourself, one single guy, please.
Yeah, exactly. You don't plot something like that yourself. I mean, you might try, you might write up a manifesto, but you're not gonna get close. And that, look, this isn't to say that he's definitely going to spend time in prison. I mean, after all, like, what if Donald Trump became president again? What if he did his amnesty for everyone who participated in the big lie and the insurrection and all of that? That's certainly something that those who've been convicted are hoping is gonna happen. They have reason to believe will happen. We'll have to see. I'm honestly not that convinced. I know you might think, well, John hates Trump. He's definitely gonna assume the worst about what Trump will do as he becomes president. But I also don't think that Trump often rewards loyalty. He could have given these people preemptive pardons. Remember, I mean, you had people like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Greene be like, please give me a pardon. Even though I totally didn't do anything, please give me a pardon. And Trump was like, no. I'm too busy packing up all these top secret documents. I don't have time. There's no pen around. I just can't do it. So who knows what will end up happening. But what I can say about Mr. Rose, just to remind you of a little bit of the evidence that was presented during the trial. He posted two open letters in December of 2020 to Mr. Trump on his website, begging the president to seize data from voting machines across the country. That was something that many right wingers wanted, him to literally go state by state taking the voting machines themselves. He also urged Mr. Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act, like literally to get groups like the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys as militias that could be dispatched by the federal government to put down an insurrection, which he would actively participate in shortly after. Let's see, he was shown via messages that were presented to be obsessed with Antifa, as so many right wingers are. He believed that Biden was working with Antifa because they don't know literally anything about anything in politics. They believed that Antifa was going to storm the Capitol to drag Trump out of the White House. And that was gonna be a bad thing, but storming the Capitol to murder Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence, I guess, is good. I don't know. These plots are complicated. And finally, one of the most ominous parts about this plot was what he was actually doing on that day, what they had planned. So they had set up what they called a quick reaction force of heavily armed Oath Keepers at a Comfort Inn in Arlington County, just to make sure that you understand how dumb all of this is. Ready to bring weapons into Washington if the attack on the Capitol needed them. Now, thankfully, the trigger was never pulled metaphorically on that. They did not move those weapons in. But you can't claim that we were just making sure that our voice was heard when you have quick reaction forces with weapons ready to run in to begin gunning people down. And so I know that some people say that we focus too much on the right-wing radicals and political violence and all that. And in this case, thankfully, it didn't go beyond the planning stage, but this is incredibly scary stuff.
Exactly, bro. It's when you see details like this and we assume this stuff happens in history, you know, we saw historically how devastating and uprisings have become or were happening, and we talk about it as a historical reference. Bro, just because we're living in this current present state of affairs doesn't mean that people aren't thinking or maybe trying to do something that's big and life-changing like this. They actually tried. I think it's part of their ability to try and convince enough people that this wasn't such a big deal, because people never assume they're gonna be living in the middle of a huge event like that until it's already too late. You think people are like, oh yeah, yeah. Every time a world war happened or even any of that stuff, they're like, yeah, that's gonna happen. No, they don't. But when this event happens and you downplay it, it's just trying to convince people what you saw was not as important as what you just saw. But if you see without that context, the natural thought is, this really went down, and people like this were planning it from the beginning. Sadly, though, I mean, I guess for them and happily for the rest of us, you know, they have to try and rent out things in, what is it, in the, were they at the Comfort Inn? You're gonna drag long guns and ammo and all kinds of equipment to the Comfort Inn. I mean, I guess they went on Expedia and Hotel Tonight to get their discounts, because, you know, insurrection is hard. It's a little expensive sometimes.
And going to the Comfort Inn, they apparently missed that patriots are occasionally called upon to water the double tree of liberty. What a bunch of goofs. Unfortunately, they're goofs that would have been perfectly happy to kill a lot of people to keep Donald Trump as president. Anyway, we're obviously happy to see this conviction. We're not the only one. I'm gonna close by reading the response from Stuart Rhodes' estranged wife, Tasha Adams, who said, "I am beyond happy. He has absolutely never had to face a consequence in his entire life. This will be the very first time. He's spent his life making others pay. This was past due for him."
Wow.
So, hey, maybe he does have something in common with Trump after all. And maybe soon they'll have another thing in common, a successful conviction for an insurrection.
John, of course you'd say that. It has to be someone who knows him. We should ask someone who knows him.
A Walmart worker who thankfully survived the recent Walmart shooting in Virginia is now filing a lawsuit for $50 million saying that there had been many, many warnings provided about the individual who perpetrated this terrible attack. We want to give you all of the details. So this person was shot at. Dania Priallo was shot at during the attack. Thankfully, did not die. You know, multiple people did and others were injured. But said that she had written a formal complaint about the shooter's quote bizarre behavior 2 full months before the shooting and that nothing was done about it. Says that she was in the break room at the Walmart Supercenter in Chesapeake when the gunman stormed in and began shooting. She ran from the room as bullets whizzed by her head, according to her, barely missing her. So they allege that Walmart should have known that this guy was violent and could harm others after the store got numerous reports about him. In the complaint that we previously referenced, she said Bing had, quote, bizarrely and inappropriately commented on her age by asking, "Isn't your lady clock ticking? Shouldn't you be having kids?" She says that she complained to the store that he had harassed her for being poor and for being short. She also claims that that he'd been disciplined on several occasions, that he had already been demoted by management for improper and disturbing interactions with others, but then had been reinstated as a team lead. Says that multiple employees had observed the bizarre and threatening behavior, but that apparently nothing could be done, they say, because the guy was liked by management. So look, we're just in the very beginnings of this lawsuit. It's impossible to say how reflective these statements are of what most people at the Walmart thought, what efforts, if any, actually were done by management to look into this, to potentially control him. But it does seem that there was some evidence that there was something wrong with this guy, and unfortunately went in the absolute worst direction. JR, what do you mean?
Yeah, I've said before, whenever there's actions that are done to try and prevent shootings, mass shootings, and people getting murdered like this, we don't hear about it because it didn't happen. That's good news. So the numbers, if they go down, of these type of situations is a good thing. So whenever we have these instances where someone does give you an idea or an opportunity to maybe prevent something like this, that's the first step. For some reason, our first step is always, oh, the mass shooting happened. Oh, massacres happened. Oh, this guy killed everyone. Now we're gonna start talking about it. It's too late, bro. All those folks who lost family members, they don't care now. Like, oh, let's do something now. And it's countless. It happens over and over and over again. Which also, right now, in the future, something is gonna happen to folks and they're gonna get shot up and more people who are here right now will not be here anymore. More families will be devastated. What are we doing to prevent that right now? Instead of waiting then for the good guy with a gun to be there or maybe expanding more sales and saying, you know, everyone should have a gun in their hand. That's the reason, is because it's better for business to wait for the mass shooting, to call out for the good guy with a gun, not to actually pay attention to when people are telling you, hey, there's something weird going on here. Or even as explicit as some of these potential school shooters who are saying, yeah, so on September 18th, I'm gonna show up at the school and do this, 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 and that. And then there's sometimes classmates that go, hey, Jimmy's told me this. How often do we pay attention to it and at least look into it, because we care if people lose their lives, not if we care people lose their political positions, or these people who are paying these politicians to do nothing still have confidence that they're going to follow their lead.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously you have to listen to your employees, but I also, like, it's impossible to say if they had just fired him, could he have just done it then? I mean, like,
And not even jump to conclusions and jump to straight firing. I'm sorry, but not even just to be like, because I get it. There's an issue with someone says something. And I know this could be the case. Some employee be like, that guy's dangerous. Yes, we know that happens. And many times it could be based off just who they think he is because of who he is and where he's from and maybe the complexion of his skin. So I get the problems with just going off of someone's random tip, but maybe pay attention to the guy, understand something about it, and maybe see if this is something that could be fleshed out, or talk to him, bro. Be like, listen, things are a little bit iffy here. And have people pay attention. I don't know, man. I'm not in law enforcement, but we should at least pay attention to when people are seeing something that's credible. Put it that way. It causes a little bit of work to investigate it. That's all.
Well, we'll see. Just at the beginning of the lawsuit. There's guns everywhere. Like, again, it used to be that some of these shootings would be like novel in a way, unique in a way. We'd never had a shooting exactly like that. Now it's just they happen, and it's like, oh, it's another one of these big workplace ones. It's another one of these big box stores had a shooting. It's another, I'm just sick of another. Anyway, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we have a little bit of lighter news to get to, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few. Brett in the chat says, F you, John, Willow is the best. Jesus. Calm down. I didn't realize that Brett was such a fan. Anyway, with that said, let's talk about some serious news, everybody. Buckle up. We're jumping to this. Although most Republicans couldn't seem to work themselves up to denounce the killing of multiple people in Club Q recently, Nick Fuentes, it turns out, is a step too far for many of them. And they have, when called upon, usually with their arm needing to be twisted, they have denounced this avatar of the most explicit racism and anti-Semitism in right-wing politics. Even Marjorie Greene is sort of denouncing him. So she was responding to a tweet about this, and she said, of course I denounce Nick Fuentes and his racist anti-Semitic ideology. I can't comprehend why the media is obsessed with him. Well, we'll return to that and we'll help to explain it to you, Marge. Do you actually report real news or just use CNN for your political activism? Have you questioned Democrats if they denounce Israel hating Ilhan Omar? Again, so I hate both sidesism in politics. This is about the most pathetic and baby brained. So Ilhan Omar is Israel hating because a couple of years ago she criticized the money that comes in from certain PACs. Okay. And that is the same thing as Nick Fuentes, who repeatedly to an audience of thousands says that Jewish people in general are servants of Satan and need to be stopped. I don't know exactly how you both sides those things, but she's gonna do her best. That said, we're gonna focus for a second on the, of course I denounce Nick Fuentes, as if it's a crazy thing to wonder about. Well, look, I'm gonna have to apologize for the people who aren't so sure about where you stand on Nick Fuentes, because in the past you've seemed pretty buddy-buddy with him, Marjorie Greene. As a reminder, take a look at this.
For our first speech, and we love to get to know her much better, I think this is going to be the beginning of something great. The representative from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Okay, so when Marjorie Greene, as she has in the last day, say, I don't know him, I've never heard him speak, I don't know what he stands for, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, I don't know. You heard him speak right there. You seemed super buddy buddy. And then afterward, you're doing little happy selfies in a back room or something, if we bring up this photo. And so you can understand why people would be curious. And by the way, I love the, I don't know this person. look, there are people that you won't know. That's fine. I don't know every weirdo online. But when a person is in the news on your side of the aisle, is dining with the president that you want to be the VP for, at a certain point, you got to stop pretending you don't know what this person is and what position they hold. She definitely knows who he is, what he is, and what he represents. So thankfully, she denounces him, I guess. Although bear in mind, she's also advocating for, if we go to this next graphic, for him to get his Twitter account back. By the way, you can say, well, you know, you can denounce someone and still think that they have free speech rights. And I would say that having a Twitter account has literally nothing to do with free speech. But that also doesn't mean you then have to use your platform as a congresswoman to advocate for it. That's an extra step. You're actively supporting him at that point. But JR, what do you think?
This is one of those things where, again, you try and play both sides of the fence. No, I don't know him, but then when it's necessary to know him for the Nazi vote, yeah, I know him. Yeah, I'm on stage with him. Applause over the top. Yeah, I know him. Who shows up even when that whole thing fell out? I mean, I just showed up. I don't really know who people are. As a politician, as a congressperson who gets a lot of attention, do you think it's responsible to not know who you're showing up to speak next to? Do you think that makes any sense? If we're going off of your lie and call it the truth, is that a comforting thing to know that you may show up at a Nazi's event and have no idea that you're at a Nazi event before you get there, before you go on stage and agree to talk to the guy, the Nazi who's introducing you? Has that ever been in history where that's a winning argument? I didn't know I was associated with him. Let's break it down to just general criminology or crime. And if you're getting charged with something, yo, I didn't know the guy was going to jump out the car and rob that bank. They don't care. You're in the car with him. You're hanging out with him. You're associated with him. They don't need to hear your lies because that's part of the problem. The other part about this is that we don't care that you're associated with a Nazi. Generally, that's why you can say both sides of it. I love Nazis and I hate them at the same time. It's the way she's pushing this whole thing. But then again, was she mad at the racism of Nick Fuentes when he was calling black words, folks, the N-word, when he was criticizing Steve Bannon for saying he's gonna reach out to the black vote, which Steve Bannon, of course, had no interest in, but he was just saying it. And he called it the N-word vote. I believe that was before that whole rock star introduction that he gave you. So is it, when it's black folks, you associate with them, but once we cross over to anti-Semitism, you have to act like you don't care about that? Because no one asks these extra questions and says, what point did you realize the guy that you're hanging out with and has all these racist things that he says, that that's someone you don't want to be associated with right after you wanted to associate with them?
Yeah, and by the way, like, okay, so you can say, oh, I'm denouncing him. But like, imagine if JR and I went to speak, and honestly, like, and I'm extending way too much goodwill to her in this, and honestly didn't know that the person we were speaking next to had these horrible, horrible positions. And our apology was to respond to a tweet, yeah, of course I denounce him. Oh, God, why don't you go talk to this other person? What's the impression you would have of us coming out of that? Do we seem to really dislike their positions? Or is it like an inconvenience? Okay, fine, I guess I was next to the guy who screamed the N-word many, many times in the cameras, I guess. No, we would be repeatedly saying how mortified we were and how we should have done better research to figure it out. Now, all of that again is assuming that she doesn't actually know who he was, which she definitely did when she went. But anyway, either way, she comes out of this looking really bad. And it's an opportunity to differentiate yourself, an opportunity to show that you're not as crazy and radical as him. And in the end, she comes out of it looking like, yeah, she probably agrees with him, but she just prefer right now for you to not know that. It is absurd that the tweet I'm about to read for you is a real tweet sent by a real congresswoman. I feel like it's back in the first couple of weeks of the pandemic, but here is a tweet that was sent out by Marjorie Greene. So many people still wearing masks. I just want to ask you if a pair of underwear, really thick ones, high quality cotton, can't protect you from a fart, then how will a mask protect you from COVID? And I read that and I thought, you know, that's deep. I feel like maybe we've been too critical. She's a deep thinker, is pondering the most important philosophical questions of our age. That is what a real congresswoman wrote. And look, that is really dumb in so many ways. The fact that she is individually bothered by people wearing masks, the fact that I don't even believe that she is around a lot of people that are wearing masks, but that she once again deployed the fart underwear thing. It reminded me of something, and I had to think about it for a little bit, and then I realized what it was. Here's a bit of a throwback to the early months of the pandemic. Take a look at this.
You think that mask is gonna protect you? You fart off your ass, you can smell it.
You just grow up. Grow up and get out. Thank you.
Yeah. Marjorie Greene is Panera Karen. You think that mask is gonna protect you? You fart out of your A and you can still smell that. That was a random person bothering people in a restaurant. Marjorie Greene is the same thing, but holds actual government power. Now, JR, do we need to explain why her little point is nonsensical? I will if we have to, but first you give me your thoughts.
It's obviously, and anytime these things get brought back up, as you said, it's a bit of a throwback to the stupidity of trying to push that. What is the purpose here? I don't know how often enough people read tweets or look at statements that people like her make and go, why is she doing this right now? It's always like a little tweak. I think I got a notification for some reason from Ted Cruz saying, so they're not calling it the flu this year, or they called it something last year, something like that. It's just a one-liner. Why are you bringing that up right now? Are we still pushing the COVID disinformation thing? What's the purpose of these things? It's to continue to keep certain people who have been led around by your lies and disinformation to stay there. They need to continue to control this narrative of, in case you guys are starting to forget, remember, COVID is like a fart. No, it's not. But they figured it's been long enough that they can go back to recoup these idiots that maybe missed it the first time or forgot those lies the first time went through. Or again, don't do their own research or just read up. How about a Google search? Because if I'm really concerned about how COVID is not really making it out, I want to be correct. So I might say, let's see what it's comparable to.
Yeah.
Or I just want to listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. So I can't, but we already have fact checked this years ago. She doesn't care. She doesn't care. She doesn't actually care. I can't be any clearer about that. But just in case you might not know why the comparison between a mask protecting you from COVID and high quality thick cotton underwear protecting you from a fart doesn't make sense as a comparison, people have some good analogies actually in the chat. When a baby craps its diaper, you can smell it. Where does the crap go? Does it go right through? Is it out? So Marjorie Greene, I saw a photo of your Thanksgiving turkey. It was undercooked. So when you ate that and it wrecked your insides and you crapped your pants, everyone in the house could smell it and knew that you'd crapped your pants. Where was the crap? Did it fly all over the room? Did it paint the walls and the ceiling? Or was it inside of the high quality white cotton underwear? And why did the smell get out? Crap didn't. This is an interesting little science, lesson for us. Because things are different sizes. It's crazy, I know, it's wild that things are not all the exact same size. Did you know, for instance, that the smell molecules that make up the things that we perceive as smell can be composed of as few as just a couple of dozen atoms, but that viruses, while still being very small, can be made up of literally millions of atoms. You get the idea there? They're both super small, but very different sizes. And did you know, and this is gonna blow your mind, Marjorie Greene, that the spaces at the atomic level of a mask, the what can get through and what can't, lets the smell molecules out because they're very, very small. And the viral molecules are much, much bigger, so they don't get out. Is this making some sense, or do I need to talk about you crapping your pants again? Because I don't think this is super complicated. The virus can't get through, the smell can. That's actually how it works. Anyway, well, are any other thoughts about that?
If you have turkey like what she had, it might be as bad as a virus once it comes out the pants.
Anyway, yeah, I don't. It doesn't matter. She's not going to learn. She's never going to learn because she doesn't want to learn. We need to stop, I guess, take it as a given that everybody wants to know more than they do. That is simply not the case. It should be the case. Those of us who grew up watching Star Trek inaccurately believe that that's the case. Not everyone actually wants to learn anything. Marjorie Greene is good for the rest of her life. She'd prefer to not learn anything more. Anyway, I have no idea how much time we have left in the hour. Are we good? I can't see you, Barissa. What I will say is that I want to thank everyone who has been watching on the linear platforms and listening on the podcast. There is more show to come. Probably no more references to undercooked cooked turkey wrecking a congresswoman's digestive tract. There is other news to come, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.